I brought my agent to my show in the main room.
Oh, yeah? How'd it go?
I bought my dick off.
Farting in regular yoga class, fine. Farting in hot yoga is...
First of all, just want to touch on that. Not fine to fart in regular yoga class. Do you know how many shows I've done with people I didn't want to fucking see? I don't. A million?
All of my bridesmaids are wearing potato sacks. I don't give a fuck.
I wish I was worse when I drank so I'd stop.
Boy, the dicks I've sucked for literally nothing.
Ah, here we go again.
Welcome to Slab!
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to Slobs, everybody. We are Stephless today. She's in Toronto, gallivanting at a cabin. We miss her. Hi. Hi.
I'm here.
Laura's here. She's back. She's alive. She survived the plague.
I'm back, baby.
I guess she was still here in the last one, but she was zoomed in.
I was zoomed in. It was sad. This is better.
This is better. I like you more in person. Not that I don't love you over Zoom.
I like myself more in person. She pulled into the lot. She was like, you seem like you're in a good mood. And I'm like, yeah, I am.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, you've been trapped in your house for a while. Of course you're in a good mood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm back. I got my energy up. It's been a long time since you and I have met in person. We've never done one just the two of us before.
We haven't?
No. No.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
That's why I wanted to do this.
Oh, man. Yeah. You're like, I can do it.
Yeah.
I can be one of two hosts and still be fine.
Yeah, we've talked a lot in life, just the two of us.
Yeah, and now we're doing it on a podcast. You guys can hear it. And
I feel like it goes great usually.
I think it does go great. Great.
This will be weird. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
And we spend the rest of the episode being like, so, what are you?
No, so I wanted to talk. We had some listeners who wrote in, and I always appreciate it when people write in.
Yes, thank you.
Their own experience, and some people were like, I really love that you talked about ADHD and...
Don't said, point at me. You pointed at me when you said ADHD.
Point my finger at you.
Look at that neurodivergent person.
Well, you're not wearing your dunce cap, so I... and autism spectrum stuff.
Yeah.
Is my thing that I think that I have.
Autism.
I read all this stuff about how you shouldn't pursue a diagnosis because if you have children, they can be taken away from you later in life. But I think that's kind of silly because also if I have kids, they can get taken away from me for like so many other things that I have. I don't stand a fucking chance.
Also, like you didn't get taken away from your parents. You're going to be fine.
Wow, that's a really great point. Yeah, I don't see myself being in a bit, but no one does. No one does.
What are they going to be like? Hey, CPS is here and they're concerned that your children's schedule is too rigid.
Right. Yeah, they saw the color coding that you have on their chores. Chart and it's too great, so they are taking
it's abusive. They are too aware of everything that's going on.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, that's such an interesting thing. Yeah. I never thought of. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. Did you have something to say?
No. I love that people are writing in, and like it's, you know, it can be weird to talk about being neurodivergent, or it can sometimes feel like, oh, is saying this going to make people other me, or, you know, are the listeners, I can imagine, you know, I have ADHD stuff, but like, are they going to look at me like I'm different? Or sometimes when I talk about ADHD and I get really into the nitty gritty of how it affects me, I go like, oh, is everyone going to think I'm some like special needs person who we have to treat like a weirdo? Because because I sometimes forget to wash my face in the morning without a reminder.
You're beautiful. You're wonderful. No, people don't think
I'm
that.
Covered in dirt.
What I was more worried about is like, what if I share this stuff and then like no one else has ever had this experience and it is weird. And they're like, that's not even autism spectrum. Like you're just
there's something
fucked.
Else. It's, yeah. Yeah. Oh.
So I wanted to share that thing that happened with us this week where like, what? God damn it. What was it? So I had COVID.
Yeah.
And Jessica Michelle was like, okay, like, are you going to make sure to have a negative test before Monday so that we can go into the studio? And I immediately was like, how can I make sure I have a negative test? And that was like where the miscommunication started, because
yeah.
I thought that was so unreasonable of you to expect me to test negative.
Oh, because you were you thought I was asking like, make sure it's negative on Monday.
Yeah. And we even went back and forth a couple times before I finally was like, how can I possibly know how I'm going to test on Monday today?
And
it was Tuesday or Monday or something.
Yeah, it was like
a week
before. And I didn't realize till you said it that in that moment.
Yeah.
When I read that, I was like, oh, she thinks I'm being like literally asking her to like, hey, make sure the test is negative, not positive, versus make sure to take a test and see, you know, so we know whether or not we can come in.
Yeah.
Is basically what
I was asking. Your response when I said that is you were like, well, you could tell me if you're planning to take a test, which is all I'm asking. And I was like, that's not what you asked me. You asked me if I'm going to make sure to have a negative test. And then I was like, oh, this is an example of like, of taking things super literally, which is an autism thing.
Yeah.
And then I took that online quiz later, which is like completely unreliable and ridiculous.
Online quiz for autism is so funny.
But one of the question was like, do you find that you take things too literally? Like, is that a thing for you? And so I thought that that was something that was interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's... Also, didn't you like score through the roof?
Yeah, it was like pretty high.
Like if you score at least 50 points, you might have autism, and you scored like 197.
Yeah, it was like somewhere around 90, and like you probably have it, and I had like 159 or something. It was significant. The findings were significant, like, but it's also an online quiz.
So yeah, I know. There's online quizzes that have told me if I was a Disney character, I'd be Jasmine. So who knows, you know?
And I was taking it to confirm a thing I already think, which makes them...
It has a confirmation bias.
Work.
Yeah,
because
you're answering the questions. And yeah. There's so much psychology behind it. Yeah, but that was so funny because I was going like, what? Why is she getting mad at me? I don't. And then I'm like, oh.
And I wasn't even. And that is like something else that I've been like reflecting on in the way that I interact with other people is that there are so many times when I think people are mad at me. And so I react as if they're mad at me. And then, like, how do you act when you think someone's mad at you? Like, a little bit pissed off, defensive.
Yeah. And then they're like, is she mad at me?
Why are you being so defensive? Why are you being so, like, combative? You know, like,
yeah.
You're jumpy or you're more, like, confrontational. And I looked back as a result of that interaction on, like, every interaction I've had in romantic relationships, in groups of friends, with my family, with my mom and my sister. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's... been a self-fulfilling prophecy because I act like people are I like make a story up where they're mad at me.
Yeah.
And then I act like they're mad at me and then it pisses them off because I'm like being
because you're
bitch.
Being reactive.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting. It's so funny. That one incident made you look back at every moment of your life.
It really did. I've been really thinking about it because I'm like, where are the hiccups in my interactions with other people?
Well, it's harder, I think, for all of us via like text or email, you know, where there's less emotion communicated. But even in person, I imagine, like, do you have trouble with?
Oh, yeah, because I can't. So and I would love to hear what our listeners think. And as far as like, I think some of this is autism stuff. I also think that some of it, and it's certainly worsened by it being like adult child of alcoholic stuff.
Oh, 1,000%.
Because my safety depended on reading my dad's mood correctly and not making him mad. And so when I feel like I've started to make someone mad, I immediately go into fear and people-pleasing mode and just start doing it.
Yeah.
And in this case, I was like, I'm starting the online shop. Look, I'm making these pictures. Like, I just went
I'm doing the merch.
Yeah, I'm like going to build the set. Like, I totally, and I
Which,
think.
Thank you for doing that.
Those are all good things that I should do, and I'm happy to do that. You know what I mean?
But it came from the reaction of like.
But yeah, I realized I'm like totally in people-pleasing mode. And then that leads to more resentment and more anger and fear, because then it's like, if I don't immediately get a gold star. And this is like every professional set it, like this is everywhere in my life.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, don't you see that I'm doing a good job? Aren't you unmad at me? Don't you like me now? Isn't this good enough? And if it's not, and usually it's not because people aren't paying attention to what I'm doing anyway. They were never looking at me under a microscope in the first place.
Yeah, and a lot of times they weren't even mad. They're thinking about their own shit.
Yeah, they're focused on their own contributions, what they're doing. But
yeah.
Then it like... I'm like, nothing I do is enough, and I'm just in this spiral.
Well, that's so interesting because, like, yeah, I wouldn't have even associated those two things together just because I was just like, cool, she's getting on top of the merch, which is what we've been talking about, which people have been asking for, so it's like one of us has to do it eventually.
Yeah.
And that's so funny because I definitely have the child of an alcoholic people pleaser thing that'll go off and be like, no, I can fix it. I can do it. Well, here, let me do this. I can make this. I can do that. And that's, that's hell.
Yeah, by the way, that leads me to another point, which is the merch store is so far beyond my capabilities as a person. I can't fucking do it. I've spent two goddamn days trying to get our merch online. I've been like in an online chat with a person from Printful who's like, you have to get one of these other things, but I already had a different thing, but now it takes a third thing. And so I'm going to work on it. I'm going to work on it.
It's okay if you need to ask for help, Laura.
But it's frustrating for me. So there are some things in this life that are very easy for me that are incredibly difficult or impossible for
other 99% people.
Of people.
Yeah.
There are also many things that absolutely confound me that are effortless
for
to most, 99%
yeah.
of people. And that's so frustrating because that... And like all through school, it's like teachers saying that I wasn't applying myself. And that came up for me today too while I was working on this shit. I'm like, they're going to think I'm being lazy or that I'm not trying. I am trying so fucking goddamn hard to do something. I see everybody selling t-shirts online.
And everybody's an idiot.
Why can't I do this? Yeah. I'm so smart, goddammit. And that's the thing is nobody thinks I'm stupid. So people do just think... I'm lazy.
Yeah. It's like the old, do a bad job so people don't ask you
that
whole theory.
I thought of that today. The weaponized incompetence. I was like, they're going to think that I'm just doing a shitty job of this stuff so that they'll take over and do more of the work. And it's actually that I fucking can't do it. I can't fucking do it.
Oh, my God. No, I can help you, or we can go to a different website. Maybe the website's just confusing.
I'm not available to accept help yet. Fine. I really want to get it, goddammit.
Well, I mean, you got to let go of some of that pride and accept help.
Brenda from Printful attempted to help me today. A lot
Brenda's
of help
a
she
stupid
was.
Bitch.
Yeah.
Unless you can actually help us, Brenda from Printful.
She was nice. Thank you, Brenda from Printful, for listening.
Still,
for nothing.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Still no merch available, but thank you for responding to her in a chat bot.
It's been designed. Our hats, the three hats that we get as a sample, are on the way to our respective homes.
The idea of our merch exists.
It does. Yeah. And man, did I have an aneurysm when you sent in a suggestion. You were like, what if it doesn't say podcast underneath?
Yeah.
I was like... I'm not making changes to that right now.
I was like, I almost didn't send it because I was like, man, do I hate when people do that to me. But I was like, but it's also our product and I should throw it out there.
Yeah.
And she'll say if that's too much. And you're just over there pulling your hair out and being like, fucking God damn it. Yeah. God, I relate to the... struggling with things that are easier for other, like most people, and feel it makes me feel insane because same thing about like feeling like we're highly intelligent people.
Yeah.
And then, man, there's some things I just feel like that came naturally for people that no one taught me.
And first of all, it should not be a valid piece of feedback for parents. I mean, for teachers to give to parents that your kid isn't trying hard enough. That should be taken off the fucking table 10 years ago. Report observable shit. I've noticed your kid is looking out the window a lot. It doesn't seem, well, I guess it doesn't seem like they're taking a lot in is observable, but like I've noticed that they're looking out the window a lot.
They have trouble focusing.
I've noticed that they're talking a lot when I'm giving instruction. Like, keep it to observable shit. Don't say that they're not trying.
Because every kid is trying,
how
by the way.
You know, every person on this earth is trying their best.
Yeah, well, because it's like we're biologically designed to need some type of approval in terms as children, like it's survival that you're like, I need to do a good job so that I can live. And granted, I'm sure my perspective on that is heightened because we are from households of alcoholics, so we literally needed to survive. But it's mind-blowing that anyone could think that, like, oh, like an 8-year-old just doesn't give a fuck. You think that's what's going on? That they're just like, oh, fuck you. I don't want to learn.
Right.
I don't want the teacher or any of my classmates to like me. No, we're a tribal species by nature. I mean, like, we've, you know, evolved out of that and we're evolving into being more, you know, or forced into being more solo. But in our, like, blood, in our biology, we want to be part of a group.
Yeah.
So to think that a kid's just like, no, because I don't want to.
Right. As a kid, you don't think I'm terrified of every single part of this experience. You don't think I'm terrified that the teacher's going to yell at me. You don't think that makes me shit my fucking pants. You don't think I'm terrified that the teacher's going to say something to my crazy dad who's gonna fucking flip out at me? You don't think that makes me shit my pants? Like, I am just trying to get through the day. Something moved outside. There's a gym class.
And I looked
over there. I don't know what the fuck you're doing on the board because I zoned out for a tenth of a second and now you're on to a different part of the problem. And that's all it takes. I mean, I would miss one thing and then it's just over.
And
I can't do
gone. Math
for the rest of the year.
I've lost the entire math.
It all builds
lesson.
On that. Fuck me. Now I'm an idiot. Now I'm not trying.
Fuck. But you know what? The other side of like even a teacher giving feedback on observable material, I can say from my own personal experience as the child of my mother, who was an alcoholic, is an alcoholic, whatever you want to say. Like how much does observable feedback help if the person they're giving the feedback to is not going to help you with that feedback?
Oh, right. But that's on the parent's end. I'm talking about...
Oh, for sure. It's like, at least give the... Yeah. Like, don't... My mom... I don't know if I've said this before on the podcast, because I feel like I've said it to you, so now I'm not sure. But my mom, in third grade, the teacher said to my mom, your daughter is not like any of the other girls. She's very disorganized. That is... She said she has a lot of trouble with organization. And my mom, instead of going, oh, what could I do to help? Right. What are some tools? Said, if my daughter was any more organized, she wouldn't be my daughter. And it's like, oh, we're just going trash can free spirit on this one. That's good. I'm just going to have crumpled papers in my bag. Be like, no, I did the homework. I finished in class before we had to go. I just don't know where it is.
I think you told me that. And I think in response, I told you about the time that the teacher made me come and clean out my cubbyhole in front of the whole other class.
It's fucking...
Kids aren't disorganized because they want to be. It's because we lack the skills, you stupid fucking bitch.
Yeah, well, and I think
if you
don't
understand that, you probably shouldn't be the person whose job it is to teach them.
Yes, and also something I didn't realize till I was much, much older is how many of the, you know, it's going back to these things about, you know, basic stuff that we struggle with, but how many of the things I struggle with as an adult that I had shamed myself as a person with ADHD too, but just in general, for years, I thought it was a character defect. And I didn't realize that, like, actually children were taught by their parents organizational skills or how to properly clean things or, like, give it, like, taught systems. Yeah. And not being taught that and then also having ADHD where it's you're going to struggle if you do know the system is, like, a mind fuck. But it's like, yeah, you're not just born knowing how to properly mop a floor.
Right. And so I don't know if you and I have talked about this, but I've been to meetings for adult children of alcoholics. And what they say the solution is to become your own loving parent and reparent your inner child. And so I do throughout the day give myself the guidance and the affirmation that I needed as a child and that I frankly need now. I'll be like, good job, you did the dishes, and like move on to another thing. Or like, no, like I'll catch myself being like, God, I'm so stupid. I can't believe I can't. Like, no, you're not stupid. You made a mistake. You can forgive yourself and try again or move on to something else. And it's like, that's really all any person, child or adult, needs is just a little bit of patience, a little bit of self-forgiveness.
Yes, and a reminder that, like, you're human and everyone makes little, I don't want to call them mistakes, they're just not perfect, you know, choices.
Yeah.
And I love that. I am trying to do more of that and get out of the, I'm in that sort of mid-zone, but I think I'm toward the end of this sort of skeptical when I try to do it, but the voice in my head going like, oh, fucking, yeah, good job. This is what it's come to. And it's like, yeah, no, it, but it helps to go, oh, great. Because I get like weirdly like trauma, fight or flight reactive if someone brings up specifically organizational things. It was a problem in my last relationship to the point that, like, I'll say this about it. I was unmedicated until it became a problem in my relationship so much to the point that I was like, this is affecting people around me. It's unmanageable. And then getting on meds, I was like, I didn't know how much I just didn't see. That's the thing about, like, ADHD. I was walking around going, and I still don't think, like, I've never been disgusting, but I was always like, I'm a little messy, but it's not crazy. And then I got on the meds I'm on, and I'm like, I didn't even know there was dog hair on the floor. Yeah. I didn't see it. And it's, but when someone brings it up, it's like this immediate defense thing of like, I don't know what that is, just because it's a thing probably I'm insecure about. But
that's so helpful to me to hear, because Dave has ADHD And there are so many things where around the house, and especially we just were together, you know, locked down for a week.
Yeah.
We had COVID.
That's a real test.
I feel like we're closer than ever.
That's great.
It went really well. And I, yeah. But there are things where I have to remind myself, like, he doesn't see that. He's not trying to leave a wrapper on the coffee table to piss you off.
Yes, and that's the problem.
He doesn't want you to be pissed off. He's doing his best. He did the dishes. He tried, you know, he puts so much fucking effort in. He does his best.
Yes. And it's
and
like
there's some stuff that he just doesn't see.
Yeah, that was a conversation I had back when I was in my relationship with my therapist where and I came at it thinking, I'm such a piece of shit. I keep fucking this up. And she really gave me clarity because the guy I was, you know, with, he was a little pretty anal about, like, you know, cleanliness, of course, but just everything had its certain place where, like, I guess my mindset, and I've gotten a little more like that since I've been just medicated and actively working on it, I guess, but my mindset is cleanliness, but, like, if there's a book out of place, that doesn't even register to me.
Right.
And I was
me,
going, yeah, and you're like, nothing can be out of
for
place.
For me, I am sitting and looking at the book, and I'm like, he's going to notice. He's going to see it. He's going to move it. He's going to put it back.
Yeah,
he's
and...
Because I'm like, don't pick it up for him, and don't tell him to do it. Don't nag him. Just give him a fucking minute to pick up after himself, and then it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that was my thing. I had to say to...
And now it's like, it really is better 9 times out of 10 if I just fucking pick it up.
Yeah. Because
he does other stuff. And well, so just let him pitch in his own way and pitch in my own way. And if I want something a certain way, put it that way. He's not going to be
yes.
pissed you straightened out the book.
No, exactly. He's not going to be like, hey, why did you... Well, I'll say that actually, okay, that was an issue, though, is that with Andy. And I had to go like, look, if something is bothering you so much, but you don't feel comfortable. Like, it became a thing where, because he would pick up my water glass and go put it in the, like, dishwasher. And it's like, yeah, no, it's 11 a.m. That is my water glass for the day. I don't right. have, I guess he would just get a new glass.
That's
and I'm like,
insane.
But I don't see it and go, oh, something's out of place. But it became a thing where he would just decide to tidy things up, which is fine. Because it's like, oh, if it's bothering you, then it's not bothering me. So right. I'm not doing it. I'm not going, it's bothering me, but to piss you off, I'm right. not going to do it. But then it became a thing where, like, a big struggle for me with my ADHD, more specifically when I'm not taking my medication, I'm very out of sight, out of mind when it comes to, like, getting things done. So I'll leave things I'm working on out specifically because I need to see them or I will not do them. And I'm telling you, I had to pay $400 for my fucking, to renew my car. The registration.
Shit, I have to do that.
Yeah, recently because I got it and I had set it out and I didn't even know I had to pay that much until Andy moved out and I found it somewhere because he would just put things wherever he decided was away. And I, like, the amount of times I was like, you can't just move my shit and not tell me exactly what you moved and where you put it because it's gone to me. And it's frustrating because he's trying to help and he's trying to keep things out he wanted. I'm not trying to fuck him over, but there's that, like, boy, was that a hurdle, and it just takes a lot of communication and understanding. But I think a big important thing is realizing and reminding yourself on either end, like, this person isn't trying to piss me off.
Yeah.
You know, like, I didn't leave the blanket over the couch, not in a perfectly organized fashion, because I was like, he's gonna see it and hate it, and good, fuck him.
Dave watches my cats when I go out of town.
Aww.
And he loves to have, like, the apartment be nice so that when I walk in, I'm like, oh, wow, this looks so great. Like, thank you so much.
Aww.
And he, like, got me a little hanging plant. Anyway, I was looking for the extension to the dustbuster, and I opened the cabinet where it usually is, and stuff fell out of it that I haven't seen. I'm like, I've been looking for this. Like, none of this is shit that goes here. You can't just...
The jig is up. The apartment was never clean. He's been shoving in that closet.
He's been putting it in this, like, little cabinet under my desk. And I'm like, Dave, I can't find anything that's supposed to be in here. And this, like, ankle supporter. Like, I need that. And I haven't been able to find it, but it looks so nice. And it's just him wanting to make me happy.
Yeah. And it's like, and especially if someone struggles with that, it's it's so great that you recognize that, because it means they're like making such a big effort and stuff like that. I'll say this, by the way, once I got, because Andy would be like, I know, like, because we had to have a conversation where I had to tell him, I was like, your way isn't the right way either. Mm. You need to know there is not a one right way. You do it this way. I do it this way. We could work to meet each other in the middle. I'm not more wrong than you are because this is how my organizational system is, which he really struggled with. But he'd be like, I'm sorry. I'm trying to be empathetic and understand. And I know I'm like a little anal and OCD about it. But then once I got medicated and I started looking around the apartment, I was like, you're not even fucking OCD about it. Like, you're, I was like, this isn't even that clean.
Right.
Like, you're sitting, you just have things in a place. But then when it came down to like deep cleaning, I was like, you're fucking, no, you just put stuff in a cupboard. Fuck you. I became the worst one. It's just, it's difficult, you know?
Yeah.
But I think such a big thing about that is communicating. And
now, in fairness to you, if I had opened that cabinet and bills fell out and my car registration fell out, I'd be like, are you fucking high? Like, you can't shove my fucking bills.
Yes.
I had it on the refrigerator, so I would pay it.
Which is not that weird
like
of a thing.
Your car registration, I forgot about mine until you said something, and I remembered mine yesterday, and I already forgot about it again. It's due September 10th every year.
What? But it's also just like, you would think someone who's your partner would at least, like, if I was moving someone's mail, because I'm sure I have at some point, I'm not going through someone's mail, but this looks like it might be important.
Right.
Anything that could not be, but it looks like it maybe could be. Anything to do with finances, I'm keeping out and I'm going to go, hey, I didn't want to put these away.
Right.
Like, that seems like 101. But then I also go, oh, I guess when you just have a fuckload of money that comes from your parents, you can just say, who cares if I lose my bills? I have an endless fountain of funds that I didn't have to earn for myself. I could pay the late fee, where it's like, no, that late fee just fucked up my rent.
And honestly, that's a deficiency. That's a huge handicap, you know?
And we're going to take a break.
We're going to take a break.
The real handicap is wealth. We'll be right back.
We're back.
Oh, we're back. Oh, we got to talk about this because we did not talk about that.
You still have that message?
Oh, fuck. I'm pulling it up right now. Okay, so a while ago, listeners, you may remember that we discussed having not a fucking clue what you're being advertised to.
Yeah, so after
what is being advertised
ads,
to you,
we'd always be like, buy that or don't, depending on what it was.
Yeah.
We don't know if we agree with it or not. So one of our thoughtful listeners wrote in and told us what the ads were for, where she lives. And what did she say?
She said, fuck, I'm trying to find it. Okay, you guys, this is...
I'll look forward to it.
I want to find the exact thing because it's...
I want to find it too. And
okay.
We will, because this was so...
Maybe we should have pulled it up earlier.
I'm guessing it's for like...
Well, okay, look, I'm just going to tell you because I can't remember what it was. I can't remember. I'm so very sorry. Please message us again because I apologize. I cannot remember your name, but we have a lovely listener in Ireland who told us that all of the ads were for alcoholism.
I got it.
Whoa.
Hey guys, you've said a few times on the podcast that you don't know what the adverts on your show are. I know they will vary by region, but here is the showdown for my beautiful island of Ireland. Our adverts on slobs have been, among others, non-alcoholic beer, alcoholic beer, Guinness, of course, and most recently, a helpline/podcast for people with overactive bladder disorder. I'm not sure if these advert people are trying to be funny or if your demographic is generally alcoholics who piss themselves. Either way, I thought it was hilarious and very fitting. You guys are great. Keep it slobby. Thank you so much, Kimbleby.
Kimbleby. I died because... also that it's non-alcoholic beer and alcoholic... Like,
fucking
it's literally all of us. And we all pee our pants. That has nothing to do with alcoholism. That's just being a woman of a
certain... That's a choice.
Yeah. The fucking incontinence. And then that... I mean, that got my wheels turning on, like, when we get to a level that we're having, like, we're doing ad reads, are we going to have to, like, that's going to be a company that approaches us.
I'll read any one of those fucking ads.
I piss myself. But you know what helps me piss myself less?
Nobody has to know.
Yeah. I piss myself.
Shy girl bladder guards.
Oh, my God.
By the way, I love Shy Girl as a name.
For a bladder guard?
Yeah.
A bladder? What is a bladder guard? You mean
a little
pad
you put in your underpants.
You mean skinny diaper? For a diaper mini? that's... Boy, am I afraid of... I know that's like a thing that comes with time. I'm already...
You
like,
never pee your pants? I don't. I actually used to more. Since I've gotten in shape, I piss my pants way less.
No, you know what? I have a lot of close calls, and I've had a couple little incidences. But I've realized also a big thing for me, and it goes with the ADHD, is like... That's how bad my ADHD is that like I'll be doing too many things to notice I have to pee. Mm. You noticed one time in the main room green room, you were in the regular area and I had to pee and you're like, what are you, a fucking racehorse? Because I had been holding, and I'm like, oh, that's why all of my pees, not all of them, but a lot of them are like emergency pees.
Yeah.
And it's because I'm just not in my body. But I found even just meditating more and being just doing more mindfulness to be in my body has helped me be aware of that, because I don't know how I can get so in my head that I don't even feel my bladder.
Well, because you have chronic physical pain, right?
Oh, that's true. So I'm constantly dissociated. That's a good point.
Yeah, to protect yourself from the pain. You're doing your best.
Man.
But you did pee. It had gotten to a medical point by the time you peed the pee, I heard.
This was an emergency. Yeah, there's like, you shouldn't
I was
hold
like,
your
you
pee
know
that
you
long.
You can go, like, whenever, right?
I also for sure have... There is... I don't have the memory of... who made me afraid of asking or going to the bathroom. Mm. But I have something deeply in me, because I went through a thing when I was like fourth. Also, maybe the chaos of parents getting divorced and whatever. But this is going to be TMI. I went through a string of recurring UTIs. And it was for sure from holding my urine. And I just had this like fear of asking to go to the bathroom or like disturbing anyone to go to the bathroom. And it still, I think there's some deep, I'm aware of it. I never go like, I can't go to the bathroom. But
well, yeah.
And I think it's definitely in me.
After the first UTI, when it actually hurt to go to the bathroom, then you were afraid to go to the bathroom because it was going to hurt.
Because it fucking hurt. And then it made it worse. And you know what made my UTIs as a child go away? Don't get me wrong. They popped back up in my adulthood once or twice. That's a whole fucking other story.
What made you?
Nothing medical. It was my stepmom going, the next time you have a UTI, they're going to stick a spoon inside your urethra.
What a fucking crazy bitch.
Fucking psychopath. And I swear to God, you want to talk about the mind's power on your fucking body? I stopped getting UTIs. I was having them non-fucking stop, and they went away. Because I was like, you're not fucking putting a spoon in me, bitch. Like,
oh my God, you poor little thing.
Also, maybe that needed a trigger warning. That's probably a violent thing to say. But she just said it to me as a fucking little kid, that they were going to shove a spoon in me.
Yeah.
And I was like, also a spoon? That's your fucking, you're not like, they're going to put a medical device up in you. You're going to, what's a doctor doing with a spoon in there, you fucking dumb cunt? I don't know.
I don't know. Did I ever tell you about my flushing problem?
You have a flushing problem? No.
When I was little, we called it my flushing problem because our toilet was always overflowing. And so I was afraid to flush the toilet. I was like, fuck this. I'm not going to drown and piss
and
you know. Yeah.
Oh, God.
So I wouldn't flush the toilet. I was too scared. And so we'd be like in a public place and my dad would be like, sorry. And I remember my dad, which what an idiot. Just let it not be flushed, you fucking creep.
Yeah.
He would go into the women's restroom and flush the toilet for me, which I only now am seeing through
what
adult
a creep.
Eyes. Yeah.
And going,
I'm like, what a fucking idiot.
Let me go in there and just make sure you flushed.
Leave it alone.
Yeah.
Just be like, well,
or
start,
take
you're
your or
have
do
to start flushing the toilet eventually.
As I say, or take your daughter into the men's room. Although now I realize that's weird. But
no,
you see,
I would see a ton of adult dicks.
That's true. Oh yeah, because the dick. I was like, but moms do it with boys, but that's different because they're stalls and whatever.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. But then it's like maybe you
wow,
needed to normalize.
Yeah, I guess
dicks.
It is traumatic for little boys to see adult vaginas.
Well, they're not seeing them
because they're stalls.
I mean, unless they're like in the, like they're in there maybe with their mom. I remember like my mom dragging me in when I was really little. I don't even know if I remember that. Or I just think that happened.
Well, I'm sure it happened.
Yeah.
I mean, you weren't independently using the toilet as a baby.
Well, I don't know. I feel like if I judged what I remember from my youth on how I learned to do things, if I were to guess based on that, which just can't be true, but if I were to guess how I was potty trained based on that, me being potty trained would be my mom going, why don't you know how to fucking piss in the toilet? I'd be like, I guess I should be pissing in the toilet.
And then you learned.
Yeah.
How do they take like a 2-year-old to pee in a public toilet when they just got potty trained? You just hold them over the bowl?
Probably. I think you do.
That suck, dude. No wonder those people take so long.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
They would put their little feet in.
Oh,
unless you hold the feet up,
or maybe you
how do
just,
you even hold, how do you even do that?
Do you just put your kid in a diaper
right
thing
in? Let us know. How do you take your toddler to the public bathroom?
How do you potty train a baby?
You don't bring that silly little chair with you everywhere.
I mean, somebody probably does. Well, do they make? Maybe they make portable ones. You can just. But that's a whole
extra
thing.
I've seen that, but still, you're gonna bring that, and then it's gonna be all pissy,
and it's all like touching.
You're gonna bring a pissy
toilet.
Potty with you everywhere at the zoo.
Yeah, that's fucked.
I think a lot of parents just like you wear a pull up again for the day, but that's gross.
But then does that also fuck with your head that you're like, so
yeah,
I don't
totally.
Always have to ask?
I mean, would you want to fucking piss your pants right now? I wouldn't.
No, but now I'm like, maybe that's where my trauma came from. Maybe it's like, we're not using the toilet while we're out. Don't you fucking pee? And I was like, okay.
Oh, wow.
I'll just not pee.
I bet it was something like that. I mean, yeah. I bet it was something where you just were little and scared.
Which is so crazy because like you'd think. Like that's my mom's like a repeat of my mom's behavior. Like it's so interesting to think that she would have done something like that when my mom told me this story that she went on a honeymoon with my dad when they first got married with his parents, or it was a post honeymoon trip to Mexico. They had like a little house in Mexico or something, and my dad's parents refused to pull over for anyone to use the bathroom, and she just pissed out the window.
How far was the drive?
It was like a 12-hour drive.
What?
Isn't that so insane?
Or I hate when men are just like, I just pull over when I have to stop for gas. It's like, you have a completely different body.
Yeah.
You have a different body.
When I get like that, do you get on road trips? I have a like, it's people pleasing, 100%. But I have this like, I don't, if
I'll
I'm the first to pee, I don't want to say. And then I'll just wait until it's like, we got to stop right now.
Wait
we got to go.
Someone else says it. Try to wait until someone else says it. Another thing that I love about Dave, we stop every hour. I don't give a fuck. He doesn't care. I don't care. That's how I like to do it.
Is just take a little break.
Stop. Stretch your legs. Look around the gas station. We make terrible time everywhere we go. Make no mistake about that. I think once took us 11 hours to get back from Vegas. I mean, we just really make terrible time.
Wow. But
you
account for it.
But we have a great time. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, okay, you're spending time together. Yeah. That's the thing is... What a difference it makes to not be rushed on a long road trip.
Oh, it's so great. I feel like it's healing childhood trauma. Because, although, no, my dad smoked. My dad smoked, so we would stop at, like, every rest stop. He would read the plaques at the rest stop and smoke a cigarette. We were, like, always pulled over. Yeah.
Oh, see, well...
I wonder how far away my grandma actually lived. It was a 10-hour drive when my dad drove it. But now
she's
I'm like,
2 hours
that
away?
A 5-hour drive?
He just kept stopping to chain smoke. Dude, my mom didn't fucking... We were... If I don't have secondhand lung cancer at some point later in my life, I will be shocked. We were hotboxed.
My mom had secondhand lung cancer.
Oh, yeah. No, with just Virginia Slims in a fucking... In a Subaru. Oh, my God. And we did that. She drove us from Mississippi to Alaska. So it was like windows all the way up.
Whoa.
Fucking chain smoking. Like,
how far is that drive?
It was a 13-day drive.
Jesus.
And that was with her doing 12-hour days, stopping minimally, hopped up on caffeine pills like a fucking psycho.
A 13-day drive in a car? Were you on a covered wagon?
We were in a Subaru Taurus. Or not Subaru Taurus. Subaru.
Ford Taurus.
No.
Subaru Forester?
Not Subaru Forester. A Subaru Impreza. That's what it was.
Okay, wow.
We spun out on an overpass in Oklahoma with a semi-truck behind us. Didn't hit us. Then we were fucking pulled over in an Oklahoma body shop. And I was like, I'm not getting back in the car with you. She's like, well, you're going to stay in the gas station in Oklahoma? I was like, yeah, I want to call my dad. That's what I said. I was Oh, poor little Jessica.
Oh, baby, how old were you?
I was in sixth grade. And I was
so this
he'll
was
come
after
get
he
me.
Left you at the Waffle
yeah,
House.
And she's like, he wouldn't even take you from the Waffle House. He's not coming to get you in Oklahoma. Aww. Get in the car. And I was like, well, this is going to be a fun another week and a half.
Aww.
But and
do something so nice for that little girl tonight. Will you fix yourself something that tastes good to eat?
That's no, only I only I have know. Enough macros for, well, it is a tri-tip steak is what I'm going to be having.
Oh, good.
That's delicious.
Good.
And little JMS loved steak.
Good.
Yeah. And we fucking had to take a ferry. Three of the days we drove our car onto a ferry boat. My mom's like, it's like a cruise. It's not. It's
yeah,
a Greyhound
no
bus on the sea. We slept in like a common area and they're like, you can eat in the kitchen, the galley. And it was like, this is a room with a vending machine and people and tuna. Like, it was disgusting. And then we got into Alaska and it was still 2 days to get to our part of Alaska. And the second we pull in the parking lot, she's like, she was like, she spun out on fucking ice in our parking lot. And she's like, I don't know how to drive in the snow. And I was like, you moved us to Alaska, you fucking stupid bitch.
Oh, my God.
The whole drive. I was like, I hate you for this. So, I mean.
And she was moving you to fucking Alaska. That's like something parents usually only threaten to do.
Yeah, no, that is like a wild threat you make and never, by the way, follow through on. It's something that you're like, obviously no one would ever do that, but it straightened out my kids. And she's like, no, get in the car. We're going.
Why did she do that?
Because.
What was in Alaska?
She got a job offer there.
To do what?
This fucking paperwork for the Fish and Wildlife Service. I'm sure she got paid more, but the cost of living is exponentially more than it is in Dirtport, Mississippi.
It's expensive to live in Alaska?
Yeah, because everything has to get shipped there.
Oh, my God.
There's nothing is natural
Can't
there.
Can't they walk it over from Canada?
Fuck you. There's nothing in Canada either.
I'm saying that to brag. I just found out Alaska is connected to Canada last year when
wow.
I did shows in Canada. I was like, wow, you guys got Alaska here. Holy shit.
A lot of people don't
know. I fucking told you school was hard, dude.
I had friends in high school in Alaska who thought that Alaska was next to Mexico because of the fucking U.S. map.
Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, you're...
How do you think it's cold?
Yeah, I was like, how do you explain the weather? And they're like, it just is what it is. It is what it is? How you're not going to make it? And so they're like, I'll never leave Alaska. You can't. It's too scary out there for you. You have to stay here where it's safe somehow. It's dark and scary, but it's safer.
Oh, man.
If you don't try to go out in the world. And I found out within a week of moving to Alaska, I have a rare but serious allergy to cold.
And didn't you find out that, like, your mom knew that?
No, she didn't.
Or didn't
know
someone
that.
Not tell you that?
No, she did. There was no way we could have known because I never.
I must be thinking of a different person where their parents just didn't tell them that and they didn't know until they were an adult and then they moved to a completely different climate and they were fine for the first time in their life and then they found out their parents knew.
Oh.
And just like didn't care.
I'll say like this, I didn't get diagnosed with my rheumatoid arthritis till I was in my mid 20s. I for sure was having problems at like 15 and cold. Makes it so much worse. I would wake up like a fucking tin man in high school. And my mom would just be like, you play sports. It's your muscles. You're being a baby. So I didn't talk to a doctor
and
for 10
years. You're like,
Mom, what
are
years
you talking about?
Because I was like,
to be a tight claw because I play sports.
It's because I play hockey. My frozen hockey hands from holding the stick, they just have to warm up. And I literally... I don't know to this day if
you poor little thing, you played hockey.
I don't know if I was in some capacity slightly a hypochondriac or if my mom was just so fucking dismissive of any semblance of illness that she made me feel like I was crazy for having a symptom. Because my mom convinced me I was a hypochondriac at a very young age, which, by the way...
You
slick move for a poor parent with no
you
insurance.
You played hockey. People who have only ever listened to this podcast, Jessica Michelle is 4 feet and 11 inches tall.
And I was a right wing on a state championship team, bitch. Varsity letter. Boom. Suck my dick. I was on the bench most of the time.
A lot of anger.
Mostly there for my personality. Dude, we had this hockey coach. His name was Reg, and he would get so ramped up. He was like, took it so seriously. And it's like, this is girls hockey. And half of us are only on the team because you needed more girls to field a team. Like, I was on the team because my friend Ashley was like, hey, we need bodies. Come join the hockey team. And I was like, all right.
Oh, that's why you play kickball too.
Yeah, I know. But hey, I'm getting better at kickball. The John in the studio can attest to that. I had a great game.
He's
this
giving
week.
The thumbs up. But, I believe you. Did you get a you got a base hit when I played with you guys?
Yeah. Well, I got all three outs this last week on one inning.
Holy
like it was
shit.
All me on first base.
Oh my god.
And we were down. We only had six people.
And a girl.
Yeah. And then we fucking got John had to leave for a wedding and everyone else was at a wedding and we got our ass kicked after that. But
you got those outs.
For a moment, boy. But wait, I'll finish. We had a coach named Reg, and he was this old man who took hockey very seriously, and he would be screaming at us, skate! Skate, goddamn! He'd get in my face and scream. It's like, you know I'm bad. What do you stop? And manage your expectations, Reg.
Right.
I would say that. He's like,
you said that?
You need to manage your expectations. I'm not very good. He's like, you need to skate faster. Dude, he'd make us do Superman.
Yeah, no shit, I have to skate faster. Thanks for the feedback, fucking asshole.
But he was a very...
Ew, saliva-y.
Saliva-y talker, and he'd be yelling at you, and he'd be spitting, and it would drool, and then...
Ew, I can hear it. Ew.
No, but wait. And then the drool would freeze. And he'd just be screaming at you with a little icicle off of his chin.
And on that, I think that's this week's episode of Slobs. I want to leave our listeners with that image. It's not going to get better than that. That is disgusting and sad, and that's our show.
That is our show. We miss you, Steph.
We miss you, Steph.
Follow Slobs and go, you know, come see us on the road. Bye.
Oh, we're going to be in Montana.
Oh,
the two of us together. Jessica, Michelle, and I are going to be in Montana September 30th. I'm at least going to be in Bozeman, and we're
October 1st. We're
get her on that show too, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah,
and then October 1st, we're both going to be in
Great Falls. We're co-headlining. It's going to be so much fun. We did drive through Montana on my trip with my mom, so I will spend the entire time triggered and crying. But
I can't wait to be there.
It's going
to
be so fun. Come see us in Great Falls
and.
Bozeman.
Bozeman. Montana.
Yeah, Big Sky.
Have a great week.
Follow the podcast at Slobs Pod. Follow me at Lara Bites.
Follow me at Steph Tola. Follow me everywhere on the internet at JMS Comedy.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.